The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Heartbreaking if you've been watching, paying attention, seeing things going on in Ukraine with the Russian invasion day two. It's just heartbreaking. And I would encourage you, and I'll be doing this with my students in my U.S. history as well as my civics classes, to make sure you look. I mean, look at the pictures. There's some brutal stuff out there because war is hell. War is brutal. It's the real world. You don't shield yourself from it. You don't hide in Netflix or Paramount Plus or Disney Plus or whatever. These are real people that are really dying. There's injuries. There's death. There's mayhem. There's destruction. And we really haven't seen anything like this. And I haven't seen anything like this truly in Europe in my lifetime. It's been since World War II since we saw anything like this in Europe. And it will continue. I've got a bunch of different stories here today that I want to share. And then we're going to get a call from our friend and sister in Christ, Michelle Woodhouse, who's running for Congress. I think it's North Carolina District 14. You got to put an asterisk next to everything anymore around here in North Carolina as they've gone through all the back and forth in the court system. But she's down at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee group that meets once or twice a year, and all the big names are there. DeSantis and Trump is speaking, and Ted Cruz and Rubio, all those types of people, even from North Carolina. Mark Robinson, our lieutenant governor, is down there, and Mark Walker had a chance to speak, I think, yesterday. So Michelle Woodhouse is down there. She's going to call in and let us know what's happening and any highlights, what are conservatives talking about down there with respect to Ukraine and Russia. And the president's going to be giving his State of the Union address next Tuesday. That will be interesting and probably painful. So there's just so much to consider and so much to watch. But we should be paying attention. But even more so than that, we should be praying for the people of Ukraine and for the leadership there, for leadership around the world that's opposing it, for God to deal with Putin accordingly. And for the protection of the just the regular citizens and the soldiers that are fighting. And there's plenty of Russian soldiers that probably don't want to be there, but they don't have a choice. So there's a lot to pray about. So please make sure you're doing that at least as much as we're turning on the TV. We should be being in prayer without ceasing. But some really inspiring stories there. My son just sent me a couple of pictures of Zelensky. Zelensky's the president of Ukraine, who was a comedian and an actor before. He was in a Netflix series where a teacher becomes the president of Ukraine, and then this guy actually becomes the president of Ukraine. So then they go, oh, great. Yeah, however, the picture that my son sent me, this is the first time I've sent this, and I'm showing it to my friends on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, so if you go to the Steve Noble Show page on either place, back on YouTube, we'll see how long that lasts. They're probably going to take me off today for saying something bad about Putin, who knows, or China. But Zelensky's out there, and I'm showing people on Facebook Live from my phone. He's out there in full military gear with the helmet on, the armor, all that stuff. That's awesome that he's out there doing that, man. He's out there with his people. We rarely see that in America. We rarely see that around the world anymore as the elites kind of run the show. But he's a normal guy, and he's out there doing it, and he's out there with his people. That's awesome. Which should be a reminder that if you think you're just a normal person and you can't make a difference, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. That's Satan telling you that you're no good. But if you follow the Holy Spirit, man, you're dangerous. So don't forget that, especially in prayer. So you got that. He's the president. Then you got the mayor of Kyiv. I don't know if people are saying Kyiv, whatever. You know what it is. Kyiv, which is the capital of Ukraine, the mayor, Vitaly Klitschko, who's a world heavyweight boxing champ and a multimillionaire, okay? He could be blowing out of there. He could be gone. He could be sitting in an island somewhere hanging out because he's a millionaire, multimillionaire, heavyweight boxing champ. But you know what he's doing? He's the mayor of Kyiv, And he's in military gear. I'm looking at a bunch of pictures of him. And he's out there. He's got, that looks like a 50 caliber machine gun. Then he's got a more of a handheld machine gun. He's like on the side of a highway downloading the bullets in it. And he's out there fighting for his people, for his country. That's inspiring. That's awesome. And then if you heard, now this one, we don't know if this is real, but the internet's kind of going bonkers. And if the internet says it, I guess it's supposed to be true, right? The Ghost of Kyiv. Have you heard about this guy? So he's allegedly a fighter pilot, the Ghost of Kyiv. We haven't seen this in a while. And now they're saying he shot down six Russian planes in the past 24 or 36 hours. So there's video of this. He's actually flying an Su-25, which is, I think he's flying what amounts to a MiG jet. I don't know if he's flying an American jet. I can't tell from the pictures, but they have video of the guy flying over the city. An ace pilot is one that with at least five confirmed kills. If this ghost is indeed real and managed to get 10 confirmed kills, he'd be a double ace. So he's out there. They're saying he's taken down six Russian jets. And maybe that's true. I don't know. We'll find out. Some of this stuff will shake out. But these are ordinary people, which should inspire all of us. Thanks, Hayden. It's a MiG. Should inspire all of us. To that you're capable of way more than you think you are. And when the push comes to shove, you got to stand up. And in this case, they're standing up for, this is like love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds familiar. That love has no greater thing than this, than one lays down his life for his friend, right? So this is super inspiring. Then there was this one. Ukrainian Marine sacrifices himself to blow up the bridge. This is from the Ukrainian military. The General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine released a statement Friday via social media reporting that Vitaly Skakun, a battalion engineer, had voluntarily undertaken a mission to mine out the support structure of the Genichesky Bridge near the Kyiv before Russian forces could cross it because they're bringing tanks in, right? Now I've actually got another story where they're starting to land troops down there on the Black Sea. Shakun did not have time to flee the blast zone before detonating the explosives and informed his battalion that he would be blowing it up regardless. The armed forces reported that the subsequent explosion was immediate and thwarted Russian efforts to mobilize their tank column over the bridge. Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, noted that the last time foreigners attacked Kyiv took place in 1941. He said this. Horrific Russian rocket strikes on Kyiv. Last time our capital experienced anything like this was 1941 when it was attacked by Nazi Germany. Wow. Ukraine defeated that evil and will defeat this one. Stop Putin. Isolate Russia. Sever all ties. Kick Russia out of everywhere. Then there's another thing. And then another thing. Truly inspiring. And we need to pay attention. We need to pray for these people. We need to be inspired by these people. We need to be willing, what these people are willing to do, if it's ever called for, willing to risk your life for your neighbor. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about Ukraine today. I had Theology Thursday yesterday. I won't be here all next week. Heading off to San Francisco with our youngest daughter. Going to go spend time with our oldest, Hayden, who's just out there and flourishing. And I've never been there myself, so that'll be interesting. I might do a couple of Facebook Lives while I'm there, just share a little bit about what I'm experiencing. We'll see. Maybe not. I'd rather take a week away from social media and radio and just spend it with two of my kids and leave it at that. So I'll be back, God willing, next Friday. So I'll be off all this week. So Monday and Friday next week, we'll play a best of show. A couple of great interviews that we're going to replay from last year. And then Tuesday, my buddy Stu Epperson Jr., who owns and operates the Truth Radio Network. Many of you are listening on Truth Radio stations. He'll be there in the seat Tuesday. And then on Theology Thursday, and then my buddy Chris Connell, Pastor Chris, will be in on Wednesday. But Monday and Friday will be two excellent interviews that I did last year with some brilliant people, important topics. So tune in next week. There'll still be a show here, nothing on Facebook or YouTube Live. And then, God willing, I'll be back a week from Monday. Okay, so still back to some of these stories. Really just amazing. This starting off with just some amazing individuals, including the president, who's out there in combat gear with his people, the mayor, who's a former heavyweight fighter and a multimillionaire. He could have been gone, but he stayed. And he's out there walking around. He's carrying automatic weapons, a machine gun. I mean, and he's a heavyweight boxer, okay? So this guy's tough. So he's out there. That's awesome. And then there was the story of the Ukrainian Marine who sacrificed himself to blow up the bridge to keep some of the Russian tanks from getting into Kyiv. And then there is this one, a Russian warship. There's actually a video, a Ukrainian soldier on the ill-fated Snake Island was live streaming as Russian warships opened fire and wiped out the 13 soldiers stationed there. A Russian warship issued a warning to the Ukrainian border guards on this island, also known as Snake Island, only to be told by one of the guards, Russian ship, go blankety blank, blank. Zelensky hailed the 13 soldiers and said they were all received the hero of Ukraine, the heads of the military there. Looks like the guy that couldn't get off the bridge in time, he said, I'm going to blow it up anyway. So he died trying to defend his people. Then the president, then the mayor, which is awesome. And then this video was great. This video of a Ukrainian woman confronting a Russian soldier went viral. She wanted him to put sunflower seeds in his pockets. And the point of that in Ukraine is so at least some flowers will grow when you're killed. So a fiery Ukrainian woman went viral for her reaction to a Russian soldier. I mean, she just walked right up to the guy. He's in full combat gear, body armor, automatic weapon. I mean, just looking tough. And she walks right up to him and gets in his face. The unnamed woman, dressed in nearly all black and wearing a white winter hat, was seen in a video shared to social media, telling off a Russian soldier and suggesting he carry sunflower seeds in his pockets so that when he is killed on foreign soil, flowers will sprout from his decomposing body. I'll have to watch my language here, okay? She used some language. Put them in your pockets, she stoically told the soldier, so at least sunflowers will grow when you all lie down here. So this is all. She spoke in fluent Russian, okay? So she's like right in the guy's face. Elsewhere in the video, and the guy's trying to, he stayed calm, thank goodness. Elsewhere in the video, the woman could be heard yelling and telling the soldier, you're occupants, you're fascists. What the blank are you doing on our land with all these guns? From this moment, you're cursed, she said. I'm telling you. You blankety blank 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 came here uninvited. And she called him a couple other things. Right in his face. That's courage, right? So, you know, when's the last time you were in a situation, this is going back to the book of James, when you knew what you should do, but you were nervous, you were fearful, you were worried about your own, maybe it's just your own feelings, maybe it's what people think about you, it's an awkward moment, you didn't want to speak up and say anything, and so you bailed. You were a coward. This should inspire you. She's stepping up to a Russian soldier invading in her country, and she's willing to put her life on the line. To speak the truth. You guys are invaders. You're fascists. This is evil. She called it what it is. So James says, if you know what's right and you choose not to do it, that's a sin. That's the sin of omission. So be inspired by these people. It's just awesome in the midst of all the darkness and the pain and the death. So some other things, very serious things going on over there. Here's some other people that are brave. Check this out. Have you seen this? Russia-Ukraine anti-war protests continue. Where in Moscow, St. Petersburg, and prominent Russian celebrities join in. You know, you cross Putin, you could end up poisoned and dead. Protests in Russia continued during the second day of Putin's war on Ukraine, with prominent Russians joining in major cities across the country. Russian authorities arrested over 1,700 individuals Thursday as citizens took to the streets of Moscow, St. Petersburg, and other major cities to denounce the invasion of Ukraine and demand an end to hostilities. But if Putin's plan was to end the protests and deter further ones from popping up, he has failed miserably. Fresh protests started Friday, today, with prominent Russians in the entertainment and business sectors joining at great personal and financial risk. A further 150 people or so were arrested Friday. That's today. Ivan Urgent, a popular talk show host on state-run Channel 1, state-run, posted a black square in his Instagram ad and wrote, "Fear and pain, no to war." Oh, man. His show has not gone on the air since his post. And the channel claimed it was a scheduling issue, while reports indicate that he has been blacklisted, The Guardian reported. We'll see if the guy survives. Rapper Oxymiron canceled 6 sold-out Moscow and St. Petersburg shows, saying, "I cannot entertain you when Russian missiles are falling on Ukraine." Great job, bro. Even the daughter of oligarch and Chelsea FC owner Roman Abramovich has spoken out, posting on her Instagram, quote, The biggest and most successful lie of Kremlin's propaganda is that most Russians stand with Putin. Oh, man. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov's daughter also posted "No to War" on her Instagram account. Guts, backbone. In your anger, do not sin. But if you never feel anger about anything, that could be a sin. Be inspired by these people. It's awesome. And we need to pray for them. Ukraine claims that it's killed nearly 3,000 Russian troops. They're fighting back. About 2,800 Russian soldiers have been killed in the first 36 hours of the invasion, Ukraine's Ministry of Defense claimed Friday. Deputy Defense Minister Hanna Malyar said Friday that Russian troops also lost some 500 armored vehicles, 10 aircraft, and 7 helicopters. I read another story today that the Russians have rolled out mobile crematoriums, where they can completely burn up a Russian soldier's body in a matter of seconds. Why would they do that? Because Putin is smart, like the devil. He's smart. So you don't want a bunch of dead Russian bodies laying around for the people, everybody and their brother now as a cameraman, right? This is the first time we've seen a major land war like this in Europe, where everybody around the scene has got a smartphone. So you're seeing all kinds of footage. Russia has not released any casualty figures, of course. Earlier Friday, Ukraine's leadership made several urgent pleas for help, although Ukraine is not a member of NATO. And that's Zelensky, the president. "This morning, we are defending our country alone. Just like yesterday, the most powerful country in the world looked on from a distance." Russia was hit with sanctions yesterday, but these are not enough to get these foreign troops off our soil. Only through solidarity and determination can this be achieved. Go, President Zelensky. Awesome. Let's pray for him too. I got another incredible story when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Just going through some stories and a lot of encouraging and really inspiring things that you're seeing out of Ukraine, despite the bloodshed and the destruction and the human toll. And it's just unbelievable. But Putin's a madman and satanic to the core, because you're either a child of the devil or a child of God, right? So Putin's he likes to claim he's like part of the Orthodox Church, blah 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 blah. "You show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do," right? So I don't care what he calls himself. We're just going to look at his fruit, and his fruit is rotten. So that's just a mess. But this is Ukraine invasion slower than what Russia expected. Because of these types of inspiring stories, these Ukrainian people are just amazing, because they're fighting for their land, their neighbors, themselves, their families. Russian military forces have not made the kinds of gains they expected in Ukraine and have faced more resistance than anticipated, according to a senior U.S. defense official who's not going to say his name. After 2 days of war, Ukrainian command and control is still intact. No population centers have been taken completely control of, and Russia has yet to achieve air superiority, with Ukraine's air and missile defense capabilities still working. "The Russians have lost a little bit of their momentum," the defense official told reporters speaking on background. The official added, "In general, we assess the Russian forces are encountering greater resistance than they expected." Boy, if that ever happened here, I'd love that for that to be the story. Do we still have that mojo in America? I think a good number of Americans do. The official also reacted to a video of a Ukrainian border guard at the ill-fated Dmitry Island, also known as Snake Island, who told Russian aggressors, "Go blanky blank." Russian warships fired and wiped out the 13 soldiers stationed there. "It's both gut-wrenching and inspiring," the official said of the video. "And certainly reflective of what we've seen in the last 24 hours, which is the Ukrainians being willing to fight for their country and do so bravely." The official said the U.S. has indications of an amphibious assault underway to the west of Mariupol, with thousands of Navy infantry moving ashore near the southeastern Ukrainian city. The three main fronts of the Russian attack remain: Kyiv, with the Russian march having slowed to the capital city because of resistance; Kharkiv and Kherson, with forces continuing to move in that direction but splitting off to go northeast to Mariupol and Donbas. Meanwhile, the western part of Ukraine has been largely undisturbed. That's closer to NATO, okay, which is what takes you to this story. NATO deploying response forces for the first time to counter Putin. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg on Friday said that Russian President Putin has threatened the alliance by telling it to withdraw forces from member nations or face consequences. He's a madman. "This goes far beyond Ukraine," Stoltenberg warned. "This is about how Russia is actually challenging, contesting core values of our security." then warning that NATO should withdraw all forces and infrastructure from almost half of our members. They said that if we don't do that, if we don't meet their demands, there will be what they call, quote-unquote, military technical consequences, he added. The leader of the 30-member alliance said that in response to these threats, NATO has for the first time deployed its response force for collective security. Stoltenberg said the U.S., U.K., France, and Germany are among the NATO nations to have deployed forces and lead elements to assist the response force. We have to take this seriously, he said. Yeah, no kidding. So there's that. Now, I've had a couple people ask, hey, do you think this could be World War III? I don't. Putin's trying to reconstitute the USSR. But he knows if he goes too far that NATO forces in conjunction with America is going to squash him. But then you got China in there. He had a phone call with Xi the other day, and Xi supports him. And you know they're watching America and watching Biden. We didn't do any sanctions until they actually went in. They're watching Biden, and what do you think Xi's talking about? What do you think he's dreaming of? The same thing he's been dreaming of for a while, Taiwan. Let's see what this guy does. Well, I don't think Biden's coming off particularly strong with respect to what's happening in Ukraine. So maybe Xi's like, hey, let's just go deal with the Taiwan issue. It's ours anyway, even though Taiwan acts like an independent country. They just go take it over. And what are we going to do? Sanction China? I'm not saying we commit ground troops. But Putin did a lot under Obama. That's when he went into Ukraine before and annexed Crimea. Under Trump, he did nothing, I think, because Trump was a wild card. You don't know what Trump's going to do. Maybe he's going to do something crazy that American citizens would hate him for, an overreaction. But certainly people thought he was capable of it. So Putin does nothing. And then within a year, Biden comes in, he goes back into Ukraine. Does that matter? Is that an indication of how Biden and his administration are viewed by despots around the world? I think so. Feel free to disagree with me. This is from Shapiro. Ben Shapiro, here's why Putin invaded Ukraine and how he just shattered the world order. The invasion has been a long time in the making. Contrary to Putin's protestations and those of his apologists, the invasion of Ukraine was never about concerns over Ukraine joining NATO. First off, the claim that Ukrainian membership would threaten Russia's borders is absurd on its face. Estonia and Latvia have been members of NATO for years and both border Russia. Furthermore, the question of Ukrainian membership in NATO has been a relative dead letter since approximately 2010. Some people said in the past they estimated it would take like 20 years for that to happen because you've got a bunch of thresholds you got to get past in order to be a member of NATO. So it's not like it could happen overnight. So Ben writes, what drove Putin? The answer comes from Putin's own mouth. Just days ago, he gave a militant speech in which he said, quote, Ukraine is not just a neighboring country for us. It's an inalienable part of our own history, culture, and spiritual space. Since time immemorial, the people living in the southwest of what has historically been Russian land have called themselves Russians. He added that Ukraine had been created by the Soviets and that it was time to reconstitute the Russian Empire. Quote, the disintegration of our united country was brought about by the historic strategic mistakes on the part of Bolshevik and Soviet leaders, Putin said. The collapse of the historical Russia known as the USSR is on their conscience. According to Putin, Ukrainians are being subjected to tyranny by Western powers. Putin has offered a variety of excuses for his action. This is Ben Shapiro writing just today. He says that he has been welcomed into Ukraine by separatists in eastern Ukraine, but he is invading Kyiv itself. He says that Ukraine wants its own nuclear weapons, a wild accusation given that Ukraine gave up its 5,000 nuclear weapons in 1994 at the behest of both Russia and the United States. He says that America does not need a big and independent country like Russia around. This is the answer to all questions. The real reason Putin is moving now is threefold, writes Ben Shapiro. First, Russia has a major advantage right now, natural gas and oil. Europe has spent the last decade destroying its own energy capacity at the behest of Greta Thunberg and company. Simultaneously, they have shipped in enormous amounts of Russian carbon-based fossil fuel. One-third of all EU natural gas is provided by Russia at this point, and the price of natural gas, which was low in the 2015 to 2020 period, that was Trump, has now skyrocketed, giving him tremendous bargaining power. There's a reason that the West has thus far exempted Russian energy markets from sanctions. According to the State Department, it would do too much economic damage. So because they're not getting their stuff from us, they're going to get it from him. Oops. We should be supplying natural gas to them. We have the biggest reserves on the planet if we'd go get it. Goodness gracious. Second, the West has demonstrated utter incapacity to challenge Putin's prior predations. He invaded Georgia in 2008 to no serious consequences. Crimea and Luhansk and Donetsk in 2014, no serious consequences. Even while the United States complained about Putin's Ukrainian adventure, Special Climate Envoy John Kerry maintains that we must work with Russia on climate change. Did you see this clip? This made me sick. Quote, I hope President Putin will help us stay on track with respect to what we need to do with the climate. He's killing people in Ukraine. You want to talk about the temperature of the earth right now? John? Are you fly around on your Gulfstream? Wow. Putin has no reason to think that any consequences will be either long-lasting or significant. That's true. Third, this is Ben Shapiro. Putin envisions a reimagined world order. That's for sure. He clearly lusts for a return to Russian glory, and he sees that China has oriented itself under Xi Jinping toward a similar purpose. Both Russia and China see themselves as enemies of the United States and are acting accordingly. Putin believes that if he takes Ukraine and Xi takes Taiwan, the West will be put back on its heels. The unipolar era of American power will be effectively ended, and a multipolar world in which Russia plays its historic role will reemerge. Bingo. It is this most important rationale that the West simply cannot understand. As it turns out, cultures around the world value more than access to bank accounts and a McDonald's. Putin and Xi and the mullahs all think in terms of historic greatness, empire, and national glory. This is particularly true in Russia, where Stalin still bears a 70% approval rating. Wow. Americans used to believe in a higher purpose, Shapiro writes, for themselves than mere increases in the GDP. No longer. In the West, we're not concerned with things as base as national mission or the legacy of Western civilization. We are, in other words, a weak horse. Putin knows that. Xi knows that. The mullahs know that. All of which means that Putin's invasion of Ukraine is merely the first crack in the dam that holds back the flood tides of global chaos. Now, what Ben doesn't understand is eschatology. If he understood eschatology, he'd be like, boom, you know, hey, I should have had a V8. You know, this is pretty obvious what's going on, ultimately. Our material comforts are premised on a global order with the United States at its unchallenged head. Putin has challenged that order. The West seems unlikely to respond. We're too busy blowing out our debt and navel-gazing about climate change with gender fluidity, with supposed systemic racism with income inequality. Russia and China can't touch the West in terms of wealth or military might, but without a higher purpose, no country of any GDP can stand up to the naked aggression of nations animated by grim purpose of their own. Yep. Good one, Ben Shapiro. We'll be right back with Michelle. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. And just a reminder again, as we come into the final segment of the show, taking off early in the morning tomorrow with our youngest daughter to go see our oldest son who lives in San Francisco. I've never been out there myself and excited to go there and check it out. Looks like just a fascinating place, amazing topography and everything else there. Yeah, I know all the other stuff that we hear about in the media and things like that. But I'm not going there to play Mr. Conservative and do that. I'm going there to see my son, who I love and appreciate, and to spend time with my daughter as well. So I'm just going to take the week off and not be Steve Noble Radio Guy, just going to be a dad. And that's an awesome thing. So I'm not on next week. Okay. Be back, God willing, a week from Friday. So let's go to our friend Michelle Woodhouse, who sometimes is in the studio, sometimes is on Zoom and here in North Carolina. But today she's down in sunny Florida at CPAC, where there's a bunch of crazy conservatives down there, which I appreciate. Michelle, how are you?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fair to middling, as my father used to say. So I'm good. Thanks for asking. Before we talk about CPAC, do we know which district you're actually in these days, since we finally, I think, have landed the ship with all the lawsuits and everything? Is she out there somewhere? Are you there, Michelle? I don't think. All right, I'm hanging up on Michelle. So watch out for her calling back. It's probably Vladimir Putin or something. I do have a story from this morning that, hey, Mark, you sound like Jonah, by the way. You can work through that theologically. So Michelle's calling back. We'll see what happens. Could be Putin, right? Messing with the phones, messing with the system. All right, put her on hold, and then I'll pick her up and see if we can get Michelle back on. Okay, here we go again. Let's try again. Hey, Michelle.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Thank you.
How about that? There we go.
Okay, much better.
We found a boardroom here at CPAC with a landline, so we're trying to make that work, and I love technology, and so we're so honored to be on and spend a few minutes with you. But, yeah, you had asked a question of what district am I running in, and at this point, based on the ruling on Wednesday from the North Carolina Supreme Court, they have renumbered us yet again. We'll be the 11th congressional district, made up of 16 of the far west counties in North Carolina, where North Carolina begins, as I always like to say. But we did get, I got an email right before we got on our call that the North Carolina General Assembly has filed a lawsuit. They're trying to take these maps to the Supreme Court. So,
wow.
You know, we'll see. This redistricting has gone on for so many months, and it's a challenge for candidates, but, you know, what concerns me the most are the constituents. Voters in North Carolina want to know who's representing them in Congress,
yep.
Who's representing them down at the General Assembly. They want to know who they're going to be able to vote for. They don't care about the numbers. What they care about is making sure that they've got representation that's there to serve them and take care of them. So we need to get this straightened out, and we need to get onto the business of taking care of our state and our country.
Exactly right. And that's the people need to know who they're voting for and who's going to represent them. And by the way, to be a part of Michelle's campaign, Woodhouse4NC.com. That's the number four. Okay. Woodhouse4NC.com. Right now, the 11th district. We'll see what happens as this goes forward. But going down to CPAC, I mean, that's kind of the epicenter of conservatism when they meet once or twice a year. As a candidate, as somebody that's been involved in conservative politics for years, Michelle, as a follower of Christ, somebody that loves the country and has a biblical worldview and is brave. You're not a rhino. You're not part of the machine in terms of your worldview and your positions. You're not there to kind of please the rhino Republican machine. You're there to do what you know the Lord would call you to do and to represent your people well, which is why I got to get you this letter, which is why I'm openly endorsing Michelle. And that's a pleasure and an honor for me. But why go down there for that, to CPAC?
Oh, yeah, this is my first CPAC, and oh my goodness, it has been just two action-packed days so far. We still have two more days to go. The speakers, the community here is just incredible. What the Schlaps have put together is just an incredible event. You would love the theme. It is Awaken, Not Woke. And that has been really what we've heard from speakers on stage. We've had a great opportunity to interact with a lot of incredible conservatives from all across the country. In fact, across the world, I did a Korean radio interview yesterday.
Wow.
And what I have been so inspired by here is how many people are saying, this is my first ever CPAC. It's my first ever CPAC. We brought a great member of our campaign team here. He's a high school senior. And it's wonderful to see so many young people like him that are here, that are plugging in and engaging. And just being so bold in their faith and their conservative beliefs. And, I mean, this is where the truth is. This is not, these are all we're seeing followers of Christ here. You can feel the Holy Spirit here. You know that these are people that know this is spiritual warfare and that we are in a battle to not only save our country, but we are seeing just darkness on the left.
Yeah,
and so
that's right.
That, to me, is such an inspiration, and to be around others that are like-minded and followers has been a great, incredible 2 days.
That's awesome. And so with Russia invading Ukraine, and I've spent most of the show talking about it, and images and video and the news that we're getting, very, very difficult, very, very dark. How does that affect you as a candidate for Congress, Michelle, knowing that, you know, when you're in Congress and you're in the House, you have a dual job, really. You're dealing with trying to help your own district, if it's going to be District 11 there in Western North Carolina, while at the same time, you're a member of Congress, which is a national governing body, and they deal with things with respect to how we engage with other countries around the world. So how has the Russian invasion of Ukraine impacted you as a candidate?
Well, and it's such a great question, Steve. I think when we look at not only as a candidate, but really thinking, how will this affect me when I'm serving in Congress, what we know is when the Republicans take back the House and the Senate in 22, we still will be faced with Joe Biden as our president. We still will be faced with his failed policies, not only domestically, but foreign failed policies. And what we're seeing in Ukraine and these tragic images, but those are, again, a testament to the fact that conservatives have to stand up against the failed foreign policies of this administration. When we look to the Ukrainian people, the stories of them standing and fighting and for trying to protect their land and their communities and their homes against this Russian invasion, I think is a true testimony to their human spirit. And as members of Congress, what we have to do is make sure that we are making the right decisions to protect them, the natural resources that are there. We know why Putin is making that move. This is the first of many moves that he's going to try to make under with Joe Biden in the White House, because he knows, as every one of our adversaries knows, China made a move today. We know that our enemies do not fear us and our allies do not trust us with this administration. And because he's not going to go anywhere, even with when the Republicans are in charge, we have to be ready to stand firm on the principles.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And so when you're down there with a bunch of other conservatives at CPAC, besides the obvious with Ukraine and Russia and what's going on internationally, of course, talking about China and them looking at Taiwan, and they're gauging everything right now, watching how Biden and his administration are reacting. What are some of the other big topics that you guys are talking about down there at CPAC this week?
Mandates have been a big topic from the stage, really the failures of this administration on domestic policy, the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates, and the kind of the fluidity of this virus, and what we're really also hearing a lot of conversations. I did a great podcast today around the true health crisis that we're facing, and that is the fentanyl that is pouring through our border.
Man.
So you're hearing a lot of conversation around border, failed border issues, human trafficking, fentanyl mandates. And what I have really loved to hear from the stage has been a presentation, so many around the bottom of the ballot driving issues for mama bears. We had a great panel earlier today with women who had just stepped in. One woman, incredible, in Virginia, five children, found a book in her son's library, and then realized that there were more and more books in her son's public high school library in Northern Virginia, full of pornography. And she took the battle to the school board, and they didn't like what she had to say, but she kept saying it and building an army of other mothers and parents who are so concerned about this. So that has been, the mama bear movement is very strong here. And it's wonderful to see a lot of people not only gathering around that issue, but stepping in to run at the local level, school board, county commissioner, city council. You know, the top of the ballot, you and I have talked about this so many times, not only on the show but privately, the top of the ballot is sexy, right? People want to talk about the presidential race and our Senate race that's upcoming and the primary there and congressional races and all of those things. But at the end of the day, the bottom of the ballot is what impacts your life. And you look at Wake County where you live, getting a conservative sheriff makes a whole lot more impact on your life than the congressional race. And so we've got to encourage every listener to take the time to study the ballot from the bottom up.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. And that's, I saw that article with a bunch of these Loudoun County moms, and then you saw activists, whether you agree with the recall process or not, even out in San Francisco, that was a school board. They threw out the president and two other people. They didn't want to wait for the election, but that's people taking action because they don't like what they see. You can't just complain. You actually have to engage. That's why we appreciate Michelle Woodhouse so much. Woodhouse4nc.com is the website. Woodhouse4, that's the number 4nc.com. God bless you, sister. I appreciate you and look forward to having you back in the studio sometime soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you. Safe travels. Enjoy Dad Week next week.
I will. It's going to be awesome. Thanks, Michelle. Talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye.
You're welcome. And if you're on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, stay with me after the show. We're going to pray for the people in Ukraine. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.